Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off this week's daily editorials with an update from Vanguard Mining, trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VGLD, chatting with the president and CEO, James Anderson. Now, James, following up on a news release that came out April 12th, it is closing of the El Cubo acquisition from Endeavor. This was shortly after the company raised just short of $17 million to satisfy some of those final payments. The most important thing here with this El Cubo acquisition is that it is coming with a resource and a mill, and now the company is planning to be in operation by Q4 of this year. A combination here of the company's initial project, El Pinguico, and now this El Cubo project. They're about 8 kilometers apart. James, take us through just how important this deal was to have done for the company as it does transition you now into a developer and soon-to-be production story.
Yeah, I think it's a completely transformative for the company. When we were talking 6 or 8 months ago, we had an excellent exploration project in Guanajuato, which we still do, and had some stockpiled material there. But the El Cubo acquisition changes the company completely, fundamentally. We will be in production at El Cubo here within about 6 months' time. It also gives us a substantial resource. The PEA that you alluded to that we've just completed as well suggests that we've got a 7-year mine life going at about 750 tons a day. So we've got lots of material there, lots of upside, and I'll call it imminent production in a business where people like to brag about being only 3 years or only 5 years away from production. I can say with a straight face that in 6 months, we will be putting material through our El Cubo mill.
So what work needs to be done in terms of getting that material now ready to get into the mill, having the mill ready for that material, and an estimate on costs, please?
So a lot of the work that we're going to be doing over the next 6 months is pertaining to the mill. Endeavor closed the mill in November of 2019. So it's been closed for about 18 months. It is in excellent shape, and you know, it's not just me that says that, but our new advisor, Ramon Davila, went there a week ago. And I talked to Ramon for a couple hours in the evening time, and he hadn't been to El Cubo for about 20 years. So he hadn't seen this particular mill, and he just said it was, you know, in much, much better shape and ready to go than he had envisioned. And the guys from Bear Dole Bear, our engineering firm, over and over again, they just said, yeah, you know, this is in fantastic shape. There's really very few long lead items that we need. We need new belts and hoses and filters. Past that, we will be ready to go in about 6 months' time. In terms of cost, again, within the PEA, they talk about $1.7 million US in terms of costs. We think they're a little light in that estimate. So we've penciled in about $2.5 million US dollars for that refurbishment. We've contracted with the two local contracting companies who built the mill in 2013. So they're on board. The local metallurgist who helped us with our 1,000-ton bulk sample last summer is on board as well. So we've got a lot of help, a lot of processing help to be able to make sure that the thing is operational. There will be an additional maybe $2 or $3 million spent on development work to make sure that the material that we can see, that we can readily see in the PEA at El Cubo is ready to mine, and that we, you know, that we've got a really good handle on the exact dimensions of that. So spend some money doing that. But we've got ample money lined up and in the treasury to be able to handle all that.
So, James, I have to ask you, because I know people are wondering, when you come out with a PEA, the recent one that shows an IRR of 344% using commodity prices of about $22.50 silver and $17.50 gold. So those are even lower than current prices. But the IRR, 344%. Why did Endeavor shut this mine down? I realize different metals prices from December 2018, but what are you guys going to be doing differently here? Why did, again, Endeavor not continue this mine?
Yeah, Corey, let me answer two parts of that separately. Okay, so let me just discuss the PEA. You know, our PEA has, I don't know, very different numbers than a lot of the other deposits, a lot of the other PEAs that you'll see. 21st century mining, often, you know, you want to drill and drill and drill and drill and drill, come up with a really big deposit, and then start to study it. So what a lot of the other PEAs look like is big net present value, much smaller IRR. For us, because the resource is fairly modest, you get a fairly modest net present value. But because our mill is there, because we're only 8 kilometers away from 150,000 person city that's a mining town, because the material is good grade, and the mining methodologies that we will use will help to be able to target the good grade material. Because of all that, we feel that we will be very, very profitable. And it's our vision to be able to have a profitable company rather than a big asset company. Vis-a-vis your question about what we're going to do different than Endeavor. Endeavor paid a lot of money for this asset in 2012. They paid $200 million for this thing, whereas we're paying $15 million. They then spent $40 million expanding this mill, the mill that we've just bought. The reason that they did all that is because they wanted to have a bigger presence, make it a bigger mine, and mine these meter and meter and a half veins over bigger widths. That sounds like a good idea. You're going to have more material going through the mill. Unfortunately, the mine itself, I say meter to a meter and a half, sometimes the veins get a little bit bigger than that, but not much. They're good grade, but they're narrow. So if you're trying to come up with 1,500 tons a day, every day, on a meter and a half wide vein system, that's hard work. We will run this mill at half capacity, so about 750 tons a day. We will also derive material both from El Cubo and Pingüico. So in both places, we're going to be asking these mines to give us less material on a daily basis. And what we can do is more selective mining techniques, which our Mexican partners, the Mexican engineers that we have, are the world's best at. We will mine using RESU mining techniques and be able to be very constrained in the material that we take out of the mine. Therefore, the grade that we're going to be passing through the mill is going to be better. And therefore, I believe that our profitability is going to be significantly better than what our friends at Endeavor were able to manifest, you know, when they first purchased it.
Okay, interesting. Thanks, James. Now, when it comes to the balance between El Cubo and El Pingüico, I understand that El Cubo is the main driver in terms of resources here. What is the balance?
So the exact balance of what we're going to be doing for the first 12 months is still a little bit up in the air. We're still doing a whole bunch of mine planning and mine sequencing. The extremely low-hanging fruit that we have, as you know, is our above-ground stockpile material at Pingüico. So, you know, we can take some of that material in a front-end loader, put it on a 20-ton truck, drive it 8 kilometers, and be putting it through the mill. The downside of that is that material is, you know, of moderate grade. The stuff at El Cubo, which, as you alluded to, is about 90% of the resource that we've got. So much more material and better grade material that's been identified and is ready to work for us at El Cubo. There's also, I mean, some of the material, Corey, was blasted and sits, you know, in an open stope at El Cubo. And this stuff's really good grade. It was unmucked when Endeavor closed it 18 months ago. So there's some low-hanging fruit there. I suspect that in the first 12 months, the ratio of material is going to be about 50-50. But I think that through that period, we will begin to take more and more material on a percentage basis from El Cubo. Now, that could change depending on some of our exploration success at Pingüico, but with what we see in front of us right now, there's certainly much more material ready, available, good grade at Cubo. So, you know, that has to be where our mining focus is for the time being.
Okay, let's also talk about where some of the potential growth can come from outside of the initial mining here. Because even as you said, the NPV at a 5% discount rate, it comes in at $79 million. where is that extra growth in terms of exploration going to come from in your eyes?
Yeah, and I mean, I personally am very excited by the growth potential here and the growth possibilities. And I think because the story has changed so much, and because now we're talking about mining, El Cubo and what that's going to look like in terms of cash flow and profitability and, rates of return, maybe we haven't discussed that so much. So, I mean, let me just start with El Cubo. El Cubo has been around for 200 years. And has been being mined on and off for 200 years. So there's a lot more material left to find here. The resource that we've got is derived from 19 different veins at El Cubo. So there's a ton left to explore. Going back to Pingüico, which some of your listeners, have been excited about for a year at least. That was the highest grade mine in the Guanajuato area 100 years ago. An enormous amount of exploration potential there. But then from a more broad perspective, not only with this transaction do we get the mill, the mine, the resource, but we also get 7,000 hectares of prospective claims within this 480-year-old mining camp. And I guarantee you it has been underexplored, by any kind of modern technology. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us in terms of exploring this ground. And then on top of all that, Corey, There's a bunch of different small deposits and tailings facilities and leftover stockpile all over this mining camp. And a lot of the other, let's say, bigger companies have not paid very much attention to be able to do business deals with these small landholders to be able to monetize some of that material. We are ambitious enough, hungry enough, interested enough, young enough, brave enough to go out and do those deals. There will be news on that as we, in the months ahead, as we secure some of that material. So growth at every end of the cycle here, I think, for VanGold.
So this mill at El Cubo really sounds like you guys are going to take this hub and spoke approach outside of the exploration potential, trying to tie up some of these other smaller assets.
Absolutely. And because the growth on the ground is driven by my Mexican partners who are mining engineers, the father-son team of Gerardo and Hernan Dorado, both of those guys went to university at the University of Guanajuato studying mining engineering. So they're local, they know all the community there, and our ability to drive partnership agreements with various big companies and little companies in the area, I think I think we're head and shoulders above maybe some of the other competition in that way.
Hey, James, I give you a lot of credit. You guys really have advanced this story, especially over this last year, from a straightforward explorer now into a development play that also has a lot of exploration potential. Wrap us up then with just a general summary of what people can expect news flow wise.
Well, news flow wise, we've been complimented on the speed with which we've developed this to date. There's been a lot of news. That is not going to stop anytime soon. Over the next number of weeks, what you're going to see is some news regarding kind of a recalibration of what some of the people already in the company are doing and some of their titles to be able to recalibrate what we're doing towards putting this into production and being a mining company by the fall. There will also be additions to that team, which are exciting. And again, you'll be able to see in the next couple of weeks, we're going to change the name of the company, which is going to be a more silvery name because we really are a silver company with gold. And I think that having VanGold as the name of the company doesn't quite illustrate that. And it's going to have a more Mexican flavor to it as well. So, that's all good and exciting. And, a number of other things that we're putting together so that we will not have a lack of news over the next, 4 or 6 months.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you and I are going to be chatting a little bit more over these next couple months. And in the meantime, if anybody has any follow-up questions for James regarding any of the strategies moving forward, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. James, I appreciate the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks so much, Corey. It's always a pleasure.